As I mentioned in the service this morning, I ran into a lady about a week ago that I used to work with, and I was at Walmart, and we just stood and talked in the aisle for just a little bit, and she asked me how the church was going, and so I got the opportunity to share with her how God has just blessed us and blessed us and blessed us, and I know she goes to a church, and I said, well, how's your church going? And she said, well, we've made the switch to contemporary services. And I said, oh, well, how's that? She said, well, it's going pretty good. We have a band, and, you know, we got rid of our hymnals, and we got a screen that we flash the words upon. And I asked her, I said, well, what kind of songs do you sing? And she said, well, we sing worship choruses. And I know I should have just said, well, that's nice, and sort of ended the conversation. But I didn't. That's right. Stay out of my preaching, Denise. I said to her, oh, worship courses, you mean you sing those 7-11 songs? And she said, what do you mean 7-11 songs? I said, you know, the songs that have 7 words that you sing 11 times. And she got a little bit offended. And she said, well, what kind of songs do you sing? I said, well, we still sing out the old hymns, the hymn book. And she said, well, don't you think that's a little bit old-fashioned? I mean, the world is changing, and it's going to leave you behind if you don't change with it. And I said, well, I know where the world is headed, and if it wants to leave me behind, that's just fine with me. But I was already in enough trouble, and so I said, well, yeah, you can call me old-fashioned because I love the old hymns, and we're going to just keep singing the old hymns, and we ain't going to get rid of our hymn books, and we ain't going to follow a bouncing ball on a screen. We are just going to sing the old-time hymn. So that conversation's been going through my mind for about a week now, and so tonight I'm going to preach a sermon I've entitled, Call Me Old-Fashioned. I plead guilty to the charge, and I will freely admit tonight that I am old-fashioned. And tonight I'm going to give you 5 reasons why I am. You can call me old-fashioned, number one, because I still believe that the Bible is the Word of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, it says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I believe that God dictated this book, and that holy men of God were his secretaries, and they wrote it down just as he spoke it unto them. And I want to be clear tonight. The Bible does more than just contain the words of God. The Bible does more than just contain the thoughts of God. It is the Word of God, word for word. Every single one of them came from God himself. He spoke it to holy men of old, as the Bible says, and they wrote it down. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so every jot, which is the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and every tittle, which is the smallest stroke of the smallest Hebrew letter, is there because God put it there. The originals were inspired by God, word for word, and I believe that this book that I hold in my hand, the King James 1611 Bible, was preserved by God to be the Bible that he wants me to have. Now, let me be clear. I don't believe that this Bible was inspired like the originals. I don't believe that this Bible, that when the scholars that King James gathered together to translate the Bible into English, I don't believe that God told them word for word what to write. Don't believe in that kind of inspiration. But I believe in the preservation that God preserved this word for me to have today. And when he said in Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3, quoted by Jesus in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I believe that he's given me this book to have the very words that he wants me to have and to live by. And so, I don't belong to the Bible of the Month Club. I don't believe that we need a new version every month or every 2 months or every 3 months or every year. So I don't read the Living Bible. I don't read the Holman Study Bible. I don't read the NIV or the HIV. I don't even read the New King James. You can call me old-fashioned because I read and study the Bible that my grandmother taught me from, that my father carried to church, the Bible that I read before I got saved, and the Bible I've studied since I've got saved, and unless I go crazy and lose my mind, I am not going to change the Bible. Call me old-fashioned. I'm sticking with the one I got. Number two, call me old-fashioned because I still believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. There are not any other alternatives. You can't work your way in. You can't pay your way in. You can't live your way in. As we talked about this morning, Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said in John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now you listen. We were made to fellowship with God. Sin broke up that fellowship. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. And there's nothing that you and I can do to overcome that gap. There's nothing that you and I can do to overcome that chasm that exists between us and God because of our sin. But in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, but God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a wonder, Brother Terrell. I agree with the words of that song. I can look and see all the wonders that God put in this world. I can look and see all the things that he made and all the ways he's blessed us. But the thing that thrills my soul above everything else is that God loved me. An old sinner that deserved hell. An old sinner who all his righteousness is in the sight of God is as filthy rags. What a wonder that he loved me. There's only one way to get right with God. Only one way to get to heaven. And that's to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. He is the way. You can call me old-fashioned if you want to, but I still believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Don't you believe these people that come up with a new revelation, that come up with an alternative way to get to heaven? They're going to lead people straight to hell. Only Jesus is the way, and we need to come through him. So I still believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Number three, call me old-fashioned, but I still believe that Christians ought to do right. I still believe that Christians ought to live right. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We should be a peculiar people. I want to tell you tonight, a lot of people think the world's getting better and better. I think it's getting worser and worser. I apologize to all the English-speaking people, but it's getting worser and worser. It ain't getting, this old-fashioned day, so I can say ain't. It ain't getting better and better. It's getting worser and worser. And if we are doing what we're supposed to do, if we are steadfast, if we are unmovable, as the world gets worser and worser, we are going to get peculiar and peculiar. This is good preaching, ain't it, Frida? You ain't never heard these kind of words before, have you? If we do what we're supposed to do, if we're supposed, and God says, be ye steadfast in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And if we're steadfast and unmovable, as the world gets worser and worser, we're going to get more peculiar and more peculiar. Hey, Nick, come here for a second and help me. I've used this illustration before. Makes the point. We're going to let Nick represent the world. Okay? I'm going to represent all of us as Christians. Here's what most of us do. We look at the gap that exists between us and the world. And as the world moves toward wickedness, we just sort of, we measure the gap. I mean, we keep the gap the same. And as it gets more wicked and more wicked, we can say, well, I'm the same distance from the world that I was before. And as the world keeps moving, if I've got my eye on the gap, pretty soon I'm right where the world started. If I do what I'm supposed to do, where God says, be ye steadfast, you stay over there, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, I tell you something, staying right here, I'm going to look a lot weirder than I did when the world was right there. Come back this way. See, when the world was right there, maybe I didn't look too bad. I mean, there's a gap. But as the world gets more wicked and more wicked and more wicked, if I stay right here, I'm going to be more peculiar. I'm going to be more different. The world is going to say, man, you're weird. You are different. And that's what God wants us to be. I still believe that God wants a peculiar people. Not because you are peculiar, although some of you may fit that description. But not because you are peculiar, but because you are so different than the world. You look different, you act different, you think different. And that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be a people that's different from the world. Call me old-fashioned. I still think that Christians ought to be different. I still think that Christians ought to not worry about the gap between them and the world. They ought to worry about where are they standing. Are they standing on right? Are they standing on truth? Thank you, Brother Nick. You can come on back. And so, don't give yourself over to the values of the world. Don't adopt their philosophy. Don't adopt their priorities. Don't read their books, read their magazines, listen to their music, watch their movies or their TV shows. I guarantee you, they are not designed to draw you closer to God. They are designed to draw you away from God. And they will. Here's the test. I was thinking about it this afternoon. What would we do if Jesus was right beside us? Huh? What would we do if everywhere we went and everything we did, that our Savior walked right beside us? I'll tell you what we'd do. There'd be things that we're doing now that we wouldn't do, and there'd be things that we're not doing now that we would do. We sit down and turn on the TV. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think there's anything good on TV. But we sit down and turn on the TV, and something questionable comes up. If we're quick enough with the remote, you know, we can turn it off and turn it right back on and put it on mute. But most of us aren't that quick. And here's what happens. When it first happened, it hit our conscience. It grieved the Holy Spirit of God. It did the second time, and the third time, but the fourth time, and the fifth time, and the sixth time, we sort of got used to it. Now, what will we do if we're sitting down to watch TV? Now, come up here again, Brother Nick.
Sit right here. I let you represent evil, now I'm going to let you represent Jesus. What would we do if when we went to turn on the TV, if Jesus came and sat right on the couch beside us? I'll tell you what we'd do. We wouldn't even turn on the TV. We wouldn't. Because we would not want to take the chance that our Savior would hear a curse word. We would not want to take the chance that he'd see a program that promotes promiscuity, if I'm saying that word right. We wouldn't. We wouldn't want him to see some of the commercials. We wouldn't turn it on. Well, what would we do if we got up, you know, and said, hey, I'm going to the movies tonight. Jesus stands up and says, well, I'm going with you. What would we go see? We wouldn't go. Have you seen a movie recently that you'd take your Savior to? No, I wouldn't even take him to see that.
Still get popcorn.
What?
Can we still get popcorn?
Stay out of my... Go sit down. What's the matter? Sometimes I wonder why I even try. Here's my point. You say, preacher, that's old-fashioned. We got to watch TV. We got to go to the movies. We got to read the world's books and world's magazines. Why? Well, we're going to miss something. Well, we'd be better off missing it. Call me old-fashioned. I still think that Christians ought to live outside the world and not get caught up in the things of the world. Number four, call me old-fashioned because I believe that prayer still works. Prayer's not just something that God gave to our grandparents. It hasn't grown out of style. It hasn't lost any of its power. The prayer promises that are in the Bible are just as good today as they were when God spoke them to holy men of God and they penned them. Jeremiah 33:3 is still true. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Matthew 7:7 is still true. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Wednesday afternoon, little Ziva was struggling to stay alive. Bev sort of glossed it over, but she was struggling to stay alive. We didn't know if she was going to make it or not. And those of you that were here Wednesday night, you know, I asked you to stay after the service and come to the altar in your pew and just say a special prayer that God would be with her. I talked to Bev on Thursday, and Ziva took a turn for the better about 8 o'clock, between 8 and 8:30. And Sarah, Larry and Bev's granddaughter, Ziva's mother, was there. And Bev said that Sarah said to her, Grandma, they must be really praying hard at church because Ziva's getting better. Now listen, you ain't going to convince me that prayer doesn't work. You ain't going to convince me that God doesn't still answer prayer. I've seen too many answers. I've seen too many times that God has intervened when the doctors have said, there's no hope. Go ahead and enjoy the last few days of your life because you're not going to live that much longer. Go ahead, take a trip that you always wanted to take because you're not going to last that much longer. I've seen God in answered prayer do things that the doctors can't explain. How can you go in for tests and have two blockages and a leaky valve and then go in and have another test and they're gone? It's not because Patty's weird. It's because Patty's God is good and great. And he still answers prayer. Don't you tell me that we have a God that doesn't listen. Don't you tell me that we have a God that doesn't answer. I've seen too many times where he's got involved in the lives of people that we have prayed for. And he's answered those prayers. So call me old-fashioned.
I believe that prayer still works. And then number five, call me old-fashioned because I still believe that Jesus is coming again. I think our ancestors lived with a greater reality of his coming again than we do. I think they thought about it more. I think they took it less for granted. Jesus said in John chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." In Acts chapter 1, as the disciples were gazing up into heaven, their master had just been caught up in the air, carried up in the clouds, and there were two men in white apparel that said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." He's still coming back. Won't be long. I don't think it'll be long. I'm not setting a date because nobody knows the date but the Father. But his coming is still a reality. It could happen. It could happen right now. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen the next day. Everything's already been fulfilled. There's nothing else that has to happen on God's calendar. The next thing that's going to happen is the thing that we call the rapture, when the trumpet's going to sound and that loud voice is going to say, "Come up hither." And everybody that knows Jesus as their Savior is going to be caught up to meet him in the air. We need to be ready. We need to be saved. If you're not saved tonight, you need to get saved. I mean, you need to understand that you're a sinner and there's a penalty for that sin, and Jesus paid your penalty, and he offers you the gift of salvation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he has that gift for you, that all you got to do is come and take it. He's coming again. You better get ready. He's coming again. If we're going to serve him, we better get busy. We don't have much time left. Call me old-fashioned, but the things that we're going to do for God, we need to do now. Not tomorrow, not the next day, but now. Now, now. Because he's coming back soon. Old-fashioned? Guilty? Guilty? Guilty. They call me old-fashioned because I believe that the Bible is God's holy word. That Jesus, who lived among men long ago, is divine and the Christ of God. Old-fashioned because I believe and accept only what has been spoken from heaven. Old-fashioned because at the cross I was saved. At the cross had my sins forgiven. Old-fashioned because I am bound to do right, to walk in the straight, narrow way. Because I have given my whole life to God, old-fashioned because I pray. Old-fashioned because I am looking above to Jesus, my glorified Lord, because I believe he is coming again, fulfilling his holy word. My sins were old-fashioned, my guilt was old-fashioned, God's love was old-fashioned, I know. And the way I was saved was the old-fashioned way, through the blood that makes whiter than snow. That's how our grandparents were saved. That's how our mom and dad were saved. And if you're saved tonight, that's how you were saved. The old-fashioned way, through the blood that makes whiter than snow. If you're not saved tonight, that's the only way you can get saved, is to come to Jesus. He died for you. He paid the price for your sin. And tonight he'll save you if you ask him. If you ask him. If you ask him, he'll save you. You need to do that tonight. Can't think of a better night. Can't think of a better time than right now. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you make it so clear and plain that the only way to get right with you is to come through Jesus Christ. And I pray if there's just one person here tonight that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior,
I pray you'd help them see their sin. You'd help them see the penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. And then, Father, I pray you'd help them see your love. The love that came our way when we were sinners. The love that drove your Son to an old rugged cross where he was broken and bloodied for us. Father, again, if there's just one, help them come the old-fashioned way to an old-fashioned Savior and get saved the old-fashioned way. Speak to our hearts as Christians tonight. If there's something in our life that shouldn't be, help us to get rid of it. If there's something in our life that should be that isn't, help us to get it. Father, help us to be the peculiar people that you want us to be. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.